You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back to talk about Race to Survive, Alaska. And we're talking about episode 2 here on Hit or Quit, the show where we decide, is a show a hit or if we should quit podcasting? And I'm back here with a woman who does not quit. It's Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's survival camp time, baby.
Yes.
It's time to forage and forge relationships.
Yes. Forage and forge. Yeah. That should be the tagline of the show. Boy, Hit or Quit, I will say that it is a show that does not quit when it comes to the heavy promotion that they are doing for Race to Survive, Alaska. Now, maybe it's just me, Jenny. Maybe it's my algorithm, but I was watching YouTube all week and I was bombarded with advertisements for Race to Survive, Alaska.
I wouldn't say I'm being bombarded, but I'm definitely noticing it. And I don't know, just on the internet. I'm very aware of this show's existence, which says something because I'm in Canada and I don't think that it's easily watched here.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not
it could be
easily
the algorithm,
watched
though.
In the US, I think is part of the challenge. Now it is on the USA Network. I believe if it comes on after Monday Night Raw, which is a pretty good time slot. Because that you have, Monday Night Raw is a big deal, but hard to watch online. One of our listeners, Brandon, was asking us, where do you go to watch Hit or Quit? I want to stream it. And I think the answer to that question was the Roku channel.
That was confusing to me because I thought that you could just stream it straight on NBC, but
no, it does not appear that that's the case. We will try to confirm that. Let's make sure Brandon had a good note, Sam, that we should have in the show notes a link to watch the show that we are talking about in case. So maybe people got caught up in between last episode and this one. We are recording this on Monday night, so we don't have a ton of feedback yet from the audience about how they're feeling about Hit or Quit Race to Survive, Alaska. But
I saw some people say they enjoyed it. Like,
I hope so.
I don't know.
I feel like that while I do feel like that maybe the best is yet to come for this show. Like, I have to say that I feel like that I am like settling in with the format for Race to Survive, colon, Alaska.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was a little frustrating at times because there was no question of who's going to get eliminated because we had the
information. It was a non-elimination episode for episode two.
Right, but you know it's a non-elimination episode at the beginning of the episode, which is like, which kind of took a little bit of the drama away from me because it was like built up as like, oh, you know, like Favia and Genevieve and Hakeem and Justice are like fighting for the last spot. But we knew that they were both going to still be in the race.
Because, did you know that?
Ruster got, you know, yes, medically eliminated.
Did they say that? Like, I kind of figured that that's what was going to happen, but I don't know if they said that that was going to happen.
I felt like it was kind of like, I mean, sorry to talk Survivor on, you know, a podcast that is not about Survivor, but like this past episode, sorry for spoilers, you know, the vote being Josh and like knowing that he has no real idol. So it was like, mm-hmm, we kind of know how this is going to end. So it was kind of just like, yeah, making up drama for the inevitability that like of the result. And I just felt like, we saw the 7 medallions in this crate last episode. We know they started with 8 teams and one of those teams left last week. So it's like, I don't know. I just didn't
you're
understand
making good points,
Jenny. How much of the, and like, that was the thing is because I thought that we were going to get like a little bit of the beginning of the episode, just like closing up this end of the race when everyone gets their power veto necklace. But most of the episode was about the rest of them finishing this leg of the race. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it kind of takes the intrigue away when you know that they're all still going to be in the race and there you have the equalizer of them getting to survival camp when they're going to start the next leg of the race all from the same spot at the same time. So yeah. I don't know. That was my frustration with this episode, but we got a lot more about the people playing. So that part I liked.
Yeah. And I will say that now I feel like that I understand the show. I understand what the format is. And I will say that it's sort of like The Amazing Race. If The Amazing Race, yeah, didn't go any place that was super amazing. If The Amazing Race was in a forest. with all due respect to the Alaskan rainforest. I mean, this is the 10th hour of television I've watched about this in the last couple of weeks. And so it's like, it's nice, Jenny.
It's pretty.
But like, I kind of feel like that you've seen like one piece of this forest. You've seen the whole thing.
It's a lot of trees.
It's a lot of trees.
It's a lot of trees.
Yeah. Walk across like a big gorge at one point.
It seems the grass or like the land is very like sinkholey.
Yep.
It's quicksand-esque.
Yes. Let's just say I'm not really seeing the forest for the trees.
Right. It's all just forest.
So I'm sure it's beautiful if you're there. That being said, what I do think is interesting is that once the teams arrive where, you know, you have like days and days to get there, then if you are one of the first teams to arrive, like we saw at the end of the last episode where Wilson and Oliver arrived, then we get to see what happens in the days that you were waiting for other teams to show up. And I do feel like that is interesting what's going on at survival camp. That being said, nothing that super exciting happened at the survival camp.
Yes.
Like, but this it might
be exciting.
Maybe. Down the road.
You're saying there's a chance.
It's possible.
Maybe not yet. The big drama might have been convincing people to tell the secrets to clamming. but this was the part of the format that I was most excited for, and I believe you as well, because I want to see the teams interact. I want to see that there could be a social strategic element of this game, because otherwise there's only so much enjoyment, mm-hmm, I can get from people racing to survive, colon, Alaska. So I need you know, we got a really great quote from, I can't remember if it was Oliver or Wilson, but you have to race, but you also have to survive. So you have, yes, your racing.
Both things.
You have your surviving, but I just want a little bit, yeah, more.
Should they have called the show,
the colon, Jenny, I don't know. Yeah,
should they have called the show Race and Survive, colon, Alaska?
Yeah, because, well, I guess you're racing to survive. So it's like you race to the point where you survive for a couple of days.
Yeah. And then you go back to racing.
And then back to racing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess there is like a little bit of like a, you know, Lightning McQueen element to it where it's like, all right, well, this is the pit stop and I got to refuel. I got to, you know, make sure that everything is all set and I'm ready to go and have enough stuff. Now, we don't know if they get new rations also to go back out onto leg number two.
It's because they definitely don't get, you know, rations when they get to survival camp. The whole point of the survival camp portion of the game is now you survive off of the land or whatever rations you might have saved from your leg. I have to imagine that they're maybe getting some new rations for the race part. Because otherwise, like, how do they have
packed up
time
stuff
to stop? Yeah, they did. They were packing up.
And then I think that they have 12 hours every night to find new stuff.
Yeah. And I do like it. It is interesting the importance of the survive aspect besides just like, OK, well, wouldn't it be cool to watch them survive like out in the elements as well, besides like racing? Like there is a benefit to getting to survival camp earlier than.
Yeah.
Other people, not just because like, oh, cool, I was like the first or second team in this leg of the race. But also it's like you get the longest time to rest and recharge and refuel. You get the first crack at whatever, you know, supplies or reserves are on the land.
Right.
So and more time to, yeah, like more time to actually kind of charge yourself up for the next leg. But this makes me wonder, Rob, like, are we just going to see like the like variations of the same order of teams in all of these legs? You know, like, is it kind of clear already, like what teams kind of have the juice?
Right. Like, I don't foresee that. OK, now that all the teams have gotten back together, like, I don't foresee that the team of Hakeem and Justice necessarily like leading the pack and getting there.
Yeah.
While Wilson and Oliver make a wrong turn and spend days trying to get to base camp.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that we're always going to see some sort of combination of like the first couple teams at the front and then some combination of the back end. And then obviously like maybe next week there'll be a team eliminated. I don't know.
Maybe.
We didn't get one this week.
Maybe.
But, I don't know. I just felt like because if you are Hunter and Oliver and you know, you're already killing it. Like we saw last week, the narrator tried to tell us that they made a big mistake and they were stupid. And it still seemed that like they were, you know, a decent amount ahead of Max and Christian, and got like a first crack at the land for quite a bit. And like, you're telling me that like, they're just gonna go off on the next thing. And then like, it's, you know, now that they're all filled up and stuff and it's just like, it's not gonna go well for them. I don't know.
So this was very weird. And I do want to try to explain ourselves because I think that there are a lot of people that listen to these podcasts that don't watch the shows. Okay. So Wilson and Oliver, they arrive at the base camp and they are the two like native Alaskan brothers. And they get to the base camp and they just basically kind of like, you know what? We're going to go do our own thing. And they basically just like abandon the other contestants. I don't think they like the other contestants. And I also don't think that the show particularly likes them because they are just not interacting with any of the other humans.
Yeah, this is and that's kind of too bad because I think that they are fun.
They like each
and
other.
They're fun together. I think that they have very infectious personalities, but I would love to see them interact with other people, and we don't really get that.
Right.
I mean, they did. Now, here's the thing.
They're not there to play a game. No, they're there to race.
They're there. They're racing. We're getting this like feud started between, the clear top two teams at this time in Oliver and Wilson and Max and Christian. So this is where I kind of give Oliver and Wilson a little bit of a pass because they get there first. And also, like, they don't know what the vibe is going to be when everyone gets to survival camp because they're the first ones there. So then the next two people that arrive are Max and Christian, who basically, like, say a few words to them and then straight up just, like, threaten them and say, like, we got our eyes on you. Like, basically being like, you are our competition and we have our eyes on you to like try and beat you, which I thought was like coming in a little hot from Max and Christian. Yeah. So I kind of understand again where it's like, okay, well, this is reminding me that this is a competition. Now we are sharing the land that we need to survive on. And it did also seem that Max and Christian like set up like a cook site, like far off away from where like they had like tent spot too. So it's like, I felt like these two teams being the first two at survival camp set this weird vibe of like, we're not interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. And it didn't become friendly until, you know, you got your Jeff Kaysen, and Hunter and your Kaysen and Bella. So I kind of understand where Oliver and Wilson were coming from when like they get there first. And then the next two people that show up are like not super friendly to them. They're like, all right, every team for themselves. Then like, we're going to go catch a big ass fish.
Well, the show's also like very judgy about like Wilson and Oliver ate all their rations on the way to the survival camp.
Yes. Yeah. Like it is always like the narrator is always kind of just like low key shading them. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I feel like the show doesn't like them. The show's like Max and Christian are the heroes of this story, not Wilson and Oliver. Don't get it twisted.
Do you think that they were just disappointed? Like, do you think that they were like, oh, okay, these guys are
mad at Wilson and Oliver, but we are just disappointed in them. They ate all their rations. They were not supposed to.
They ate all the rations and they're not interacting with the rest of the cast.
Even last week, they were like,
part of the drama.
They were like, due to bad map skills, Wilson and Oliver are way off the course. And they finished in first. They never lost the lead.
That's what I didn't understand. I was like, what are they doing? Like, they're giving these guys Dodo music without like actually having the music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I still enjoy
Why
when
do you
these
like
two are
this
on my
race
screen.
To survive Colin Alaska.
They're good at it though. That's the thing. And like we had the like, you know, however many days they were at survival camp, like, you know, we kept on getting this narrative of like, oh, everyone else is catching clams and like, you know, Oliver and Wilson still haven't eaten. And then like in the final day before they have to set back out on the race, like, oh, and also, yeah, they managed to get food. It's going to be fine. It's like, it almost makes me wonder, like, are these two just far and wide the winners? And they're just trying to give us some sort of like doubt in their abilities to make it interesting.
Who, which two?
Oliver and Wilson.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, I'm just trying like to Max make sense and Christian of it. You think they just hate them?
I think they just hate them. I don't think they're trying to hide them.
That's so sad.
Jenny, look at the poster for the show, okay? I mean, who's featured prominently.
Yeah,
they're like...
I mean, Genevieve and Fabia are like in a shadow. Like, that's kind of rude.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're long for the show either. And look at... Yeah.
I can't even tell who some of these teams are. Yeah,
and look who the kings of the mountain are.
That's a good point.
Max and Christian.
Yeah, maybe it's just because like Max has like cool yellowish pants on.
I feel
guess
like Brester
just, like,
is featured prominently.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I don't know. Do you think that this means something?
I don't know. So
maybe it was just a color thing based on like their coordinated colors, which I don't remember them being color coordinated. Do you think this was just for like the
press photos
maybe?
An artist's rendering.
I wish that they were color coordinated all the time. That'd be so cute.
Yeah, that would be nice. Maybe Too Amazing Race for that.
But anyway. I do like how when they've got the map
Yes.
They have the little button of like who is at what point. I didn't notice it in the first I didn't notice it in the first episode, but I did notice it this time.
Oh, my! I brought my notes up.
Your thing is still
up. Sorry. There. Yeah. yeah. Nobody should read my notes from Race to Survive. Okay. Anyway, so then we got to see some of the other strategy that was going on where Bella and Kaysen, I think that they are our team that really is thinking about this the most strategically.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised to find out that they are like fans of these shows that we cover, the Survivors and
probably Amazing Race for sure. Right. Like
you would think so.
I feel,
yeah. At the very least.
They have to watch something. I don't know. I'm just getting that vibe. Just even like listening to how Kaysen and Bella like talk about like how they're handling things. Like it just felt very classic, like competition reality show confessional style, which I enjoy. And I was finding myself being like, yes, Bella, like I stand, like I relate to you so much. Like have them underestimate you, queen.
I think that they are our biggest hope for creating some drama on this show.
Yeah, I hope so. Because, you know, well, there's always going to be the clashing between the pairs, like individual. Mm-hmm. And that will be fun. That's fun. But it is still competition. And I want to see the teams clashing with each other. If they're not even going to communicate with each other, if Oliver and Wilson are like in a separate beach half the time, we're not going to get that.
Yeah.
So whereas I feel like, you know, Kaysen and Bella are your like, you know, social butterflies, and they're going to be in the mix at all time talking to people. And I like that.
Okay.
That's good.
So they meet up with Jeff and Hunter. And Jeff and Hunter, Bella and Kaysen are the brother and sister adventurers, and Hunter and Jeff are the father and son. And Jeff is a, you know, a little bit of an old head in terms of being a like longtime adventure racer. Hunter is coming up. He's the new hotness. Jeff is also like very shady about Bella and Kaysen. He's like,
oh yeah,
oh they have no navigational support. They're from Brooklyn.
Which I feel like I don't know. Probably trying to navigate in a city still takes navigation skills. Like maybe you're not like reading the like the sun and where it's pointed.
Is that
like,
why Biggie had to always ask where Brooklyn at? That he had bad navigational support.
Yes, that's a thing about Brooklyn, I guess.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? And they'd be like, it's right here.
Or maybe that's why Jeff thinks that people from Brooklyn just don't know how to navigate. He learned that from Biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, he's shady as hell. He's like, which is great. I love this. Jeff's just being like, oh, these idiots from the city, Jeff loves navigation. This is like he thinks he's the king of navigation. Like he invented it.
He might have.
That is his thing.
He might have invented navigation.
He might have. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the whole like narrative of like Jeff and Hunter right now is Jeff thinks Jeff knows best, and Hunter is constantly being like, "My dad is old."
Yeah.
We got so many confessionals in this episode where Hunter is just straight up being like, my dad might die. Like, it's just like, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not. He just doesn't have it like he used to.
Yeah. Dad is like, yeah, he's like, I'm really worried about my dad. I don't know if he's going to make it.
Yeah, he's going to be the reason we are eliminated from this race because he might fall down and never get up.
Right. And they're really bringing like a big Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade vibes of that. I feel like Jeff is holding back the team.
Yes. You could never tell him that. You know what I mean? Like,
this is Jeff and Hunter, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I did notice about this episode, did you notice Jeff in his sunglasses?
No, I did not.
He was wearing a pair of six shades at
six
one
shades.
Point.
That,
and it was giving Dale from King of the Hill.
Oh, I we were almost the same.
Oh, Dale Wentworth as well?
That he's giving Farm Guy 69, he's giving Dale Wentworth for me.
Okay, then maybe my brain incepted it because I had the same thought and I was like, I feel like he looks like Dale from King of the Hill, yes, a cartoon. But then I was like, but also kind of Dale Wentworth.
Yeah, he does look like Dale Wentworth. And not so much in this picture, but definitely on the show. And maybe, again, another person who was like a reality TV dad who was
with a blonde, child that is like annoyed with them half the time. He's Navigation Guy 69, I guess.
I guess so. All right. So Navigation Guy, they get to this, like, we are seeing the teams going through the obstacles that we saw the teams complete last week at the front of the pack.
That disappointed me because I was like, oh, I thought we were done this part.
Maybe it was going to be a 2-hour episode to be a 2-hour premiere.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But again, hard to do a 2-hour premiere when your episodes are on at 11 o'clock after Raw. We'll be on from 11 to 1 a.m.
Staying up that late.
Sam Moore says you can watch these episodes on usanetwork.com in addition to the Roku channel.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Thank you, Sam.
Need some good navigation support to find where to stream.
He's Navigation Guy. 69.
All right. So Bella and Kaysen, they get across the line very, very easy. And, you know, they're working with Jeff and Christian. And Hunter. Jeff and Hunter. Sorry.
Yeah.
And they get across very easily. And then so Hunter goes first. And then we see Jeff. And Jeff is wishing he had more energy. And Jeff is scared. And then he does ultimately fall off the thing.
Yeah. He's going across and you're getting like this mixed with like Hunter, doing confessionals being like, yeah, my dad in his older age, I feel like he's developed some fears, which like is kind of relatable though. Like I feel, I'm not Jeff's age. But I feel like even in just like the last 10 years.
Yeah. What are you getting afraid of that you weren't before?
I don't know. I just think in my 20s, I just did not fear things the same way. And I think that like.
World's scarier.
Yeah. The world is scarier. And I just think like, I don't know. I think as you get closer to like mortality, you just like are a little bit more aware of like all the ways that you could die. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, think back. Like to something like, oh my God, could have just died that day.
I literally was just talking about this the other day. I was like in university, I would like walk home from the bar by myself, like all the time and I would never do that now. Like it's so scary.
Right. How many people were in that car? I'm trying to think like, who was driving? Oh, yeah. Like,
I've been sitting on, laps of people in the backseat. I've been shoved into the trunk of cars. I've done some and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm not doing any of that shit now.
Yeah.
So like I kind of understand, but like the way that Hunter presents it is like everything also feels like a shade to like his dad just being old. He's like, now that he's old, he's developed fear.
Fear of
the
ropes.
I think that like because Jeff is kind of negging Hunter all the time, like I respect Hunter for giving it back to him. Mm-hmm. And this is his way of doing it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So ultimately they get Jeff across.
Yeah.
But Jeff
stumbles, but
he gets up, he gets through it. But Jeff is having a lot of issues on the course, Jenny. And, that Bell and Kaysen, they're sticking to them because of Jeff does have good map skills. That has
He's
not
Nav
deteriorated.
He's Nav Guy
69. And so, they are following them along, and unfortunately, for what seems to be the third time, Jeff gets trapped in a sinkhole.
Yeah, I did not understand what was happening at first because I thought that he just fell and like hurt his foot.
Yeah,
but it turned out that he was like his leg completely went inside of the earth,
and he couldn't get it out. He couldn't get out.
He needed to be helped.
They finally did get him out, and he explained what happened to him.
That one was the worst because it just sucked me.
Yeah,
just now, sucked is, me.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
That was the worst. Sounds like it might have been the best.
Best of the three. He said it happened three times. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe after it happens too many times, it could be very sensitive.
Violent suck. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. He didn't seem happy about it, but we also saw a food trade take place.
Yes. Between these two teams. Was this a good trade? Was this a good trade?
Oh, I thought it was a great trade. Okay, mm-hmm. So we got an update because we talked about this last week. We should give the update on like what actually happened with Hunter. Hunter says that he threw up for 6 hours after he ate the clams. He said over 100 times. Do you think that you would count every time you retched as like a single time?
I don't think you could throw up 100 times.
Do you think he'd be dead? Was hyperbole?
I think he would be dead if he threw up 100 times.
Eventually you run out of liquid, right? Like, how much water were in these clams?
He could not continue on with the race. I think he's being, that's a tall tale.
Yeah. But like,
times.
Maybe, I think I believe that he was like sick over I believe the course he was sick of as a 6 dog. Hours.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
for
like,
sure.
Oh, he said over 100 times as if like, but he didn't say it in a way where it sounded like he was exaggerating. He said it so like matter of factly that it made me question, like, do you truly think that he counted how many times he threw up? Like each time he went like, like that's one. He's counting every time. Like,
yeah, maybe it's like a dry heave situation where it's like.
Like every time you go.
I don't want to like gross anybody out. All right. But okay, so tell me about this trade, Jenny. Okay. So Bella and Kaysen. Okay.
So Bella and Kaysen find out that that Jeff and Hunter are vegetarian. And we do get a quote from Bella saying, "You're vegetarian? That's crazy." Mm-hmm. And I had a similar thought where I was like, you did know that you were going to have to live off of the land, right? Like,
my brother cut my finger off.
he almost lived up to that this week.
That's true.
It was an omen. Oh my goodness. Jeff got real hungry. He was getting close. Mm-hmm. So Kaysen and Bella now know that Jeff and Hunter cannot eat any of the meat related rations they've got, or they can't go they're not fishing and clamming.
Hunter is actually quite ironically named.
Yes, exactly. He's a hunter of berries. Mm-hmm. He's really good at hunting blueberries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kaysen and Bella offer the trade of they have the extra bannock and they're going to trade the bannock for, I think, mussels.
Have you ever had bannock?
I have never had it because the first opportunity I had to have bannock, I was already I'm allergic to wheat.
Yeah.
So I don't have like any flour related products because
bannock bread was made by our ancestors while on the trail. Try throwing in blueberries or raisins for flavor.
Yeah. So I know like at least in like the area that I live in, like bannock tacos are like a thing.
Okay.
I've never had one again. I can't eat them, but apparently they're delicious. So it's like, you just mix it with water and it makes like it's super high calorie, flatter bread.
Do you think do they have just the flour or do you think they have the actual bread?
I think they just have the flour because I remember them in the first episode, they said the word flour as one of the rations.
Got it.
But it's bannock. Yeah. So they mix it with the water. And then I don't know if they have to heat it or like how mixing it with the water. I don't know. I don't know how it turns from.
Yeah,
we didn't get the lesson, but I am learning things from this.
We are learning.
Show, I will say that. So Kaysen and Bella are going to give up that because they have extra of that. And that's great for Hunter and Jeff. And they're getting, I think, mussels in return. And Bella is like, yeah, we got the upper hand because sure, they're getting extra carbs. We're getting extra protein, baby. And I'm like, yes, girl, that is right.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great trade to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I didn't hear of anyone else throwing up, but.
Yeah, I really, if Bella says it's good, then I will take her word for it. I mean, I do think that in a perfect world, I feel like that you can potentially find other mussels or clams like out in the wild. See, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I guess like if we're, I don't know if you could find more carbs. Yeah, probably not. I mean, ideally you're getting a little bit of both, right? Like you want to pair the carb with the protein to get the maximum energy you need for racing. But I think
not if you're on keto.
Yes, not if you're.
Is anybody on keto in this race? No. Was Brester on keto? Eat? Yeah. Yes.
Like, okay, your ration is a stick of butter, and you can have fish. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think that they can't. They must get rations again for the race part because they can't expect them to stop and go like clamming, you know. So. Yeah. Maybe it is more helpful to have the bannock in that situation. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just like the kind of person where I'm like, give me protein. I would rather, because I think it's going to fuel you more than a carb will. Mm-hmm. I'm not a nutritionist.
Yeah.
But
okay. All right. Yeah. We're not here to macro manage this whole show.
Yeah. You know, eat however it works for you. But for me, I can't eat a lot of carbs because of the flour anyway. So I'm like, in my brain, I was like, this is a great trade for me. I'm getting protein. But I love that. Like, I like to see the things about the game become like mechanics for strategy where it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna make a trade with these people.
Sure. All right. Sure. So yeah, this is basically Bannock are the fire tokens of the race to survive : Alaska.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jenny, let's talk about what's going on a little further back at the pack, okay? So those two teams of Jeff and Hunter and Bella and Kaysen, they are closing in on the survival camp. But there were three teams that were further back into the pack. We have the team of, I believe it's Robin and Elizabeth.
Robin and
Elizabeth. They were at the very back of the pack with Genevieve and Favia. But for some reason, they just turned on like the afterburners in this episode and then just started booking it.
Yeah, I was really confused about how we ended up where we were with the teams because, in the last episode, the one overnight where they stopped for the 12 hours, it was those two lady teams hanging out together and looking at the penis grub or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Or even more looks like a penis.
Totally. And spoiler, they ate it. I think it must have happened last episode and I just didn't notice where Robin and Elizabeth kind of booked it forward. Yeah. But so they're like in the middle. They're in like their own little spot.
They're in the middle. They did not really have a lot of story. They just they like their story yeah. was that they just like and they just, like says bye Genevieve and Favia. See you never.
I don't even remember them having like a story in this episode, no. really.
No.
But it does seem like they will struggle going forward
eventually.
Just based on previews.
Yeah.
But today they're fine.
That was fine. Okay. Meanwhile, at the back of the pack, there were two teams that were struggling. It was Genevieve and Favia and Justice and Hakeem. Where Genevieve and Favia, you know, they were trying to do their best. I don't really know why they were struggling other than they just have struggled the whole way through. We got much more about the team of Justice and Hakeem and some dissension in the ranks as Justice is a little bit like, what's Hakeem's problem?
Yeah, we got like the worst thing where, you know, Justice is essentially saying,
I thought he was
I'm not
faster.
Mad. I'm just disappointed. Like, he's like, I'm just like,
good at this.
It's so shady, though, because Justice was like, I thought I was going to be the one slowing us down. Like, this guy was in like special operatives, like, what is going on?
Yeah. You Muppet. Oh, man. You're so slow.
Don't let Billy see
the
this.
Man. Time to pay the man.
Oh, man. I don't think he could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Now I'm questioning if he could handle the world's toughest test.
I don't
because
think so. I don't know.
Based on this performance.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, he was just like very slow.
He's like falling over all the time. Like mm-hmm. he's like, I mean, to be fair, the land does seem very like precarious. We did see Jeff get sucked, by the land.
Very hard by the land.
That one was the worst because it just sucked me.
The worst. Mm-hmm. Just the worst.
Yeah.
So I think that was happening to Hakeem a little bit at certain points. He was like partially being sucked by the earth.
This is what Justice said about him, right? That he really sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
yeah.
The last two teams are going to be like up against the clock in this episode where it's like, we don't know who's going to come in sixth place. If it's going to be Justice and Hakeem or Favia and Genevieve. We did spend more time in terms of like backstory with Favia and Genevieve.
Yeah, we got more about Favia last week when we got introduced to their team, and we got a lot more from Genevieve this week. And I think she's fun. I really like her. And so she's like talking about how she like
got that
her parents.
Life.
Yeah, her parents like wanted her to be like financially set up, and that was how like they saw success, and that just didn't make sense for her. So she's like lived in her car for mm-hmm. like the last 5 years, and so she's basically like, it kind of made me sad where she's like, if I win this race and win this money, my dad will get off my back. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that that hurt my soul, but also deeply relatable. I'm just gonna win some money so my dad will leave me alone about mm-hmm. my finances. But I thought that she was really fun. And they were like, the main like thing was that they were trying to just get ahead mm-hmm. of, because they were in the back. They were trying to get ahead of
behind the team.
Like, well, I know. Like, there were like two separate nights that they went to sleep, I swear, when like they were all already at the
At least.
At the survival camp.
Yeah, at least. I don't know, like, that my notes start in, is it day two when we see that that's the day that Wilson and Oliver get there?
And
they don't get
and
to
Max
the base camp until, what, day?
Day five.
Yeah, they, I think they do it at the end of day four, and then day five, everybody is there.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I think they get there late day four. So yeah, two whole nights. And I'm pretty sure, like, because they have the little counter that you can see at certain points. And so Hakeem and Justice get to the crate when they're still six or at sixth place or whatever. And then they show Favia and Genevieve approaching after, because it wasn't clear like how separated they were, but like there was like 24 minutes left on the clock.
They were kind of close. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know what would happen there. Like, do they just
they
go
just
to
get
sleep?
Eliminated?
Or do they get eliminated?
They get eliminated.
The
and it's like, oh, we already lost a team. Come on, pick up the pace.
But would they, like, that's what I'm questioning. It's like they already had the spot. So would they have just been like, oh my God,
I think
God,
that they had to get there by day four. I think that the race is on
the
schedule.
Did it say that?
I think it did, because I think everything, there's six races that they said in the first episode. So
yeah.
I think that there's like the races are a certain amount of days and then with an off day in between.
Okay.
So I think that they are
that
on the
day,
schedule. Yeah.
Day five, I guess.
Now, could the producers be a little bit like were they like an hour behind and they're like, all right, come on, ladies, tick-tock,
like who's,
let's go.
Yeah. Who's like checking the,
right.
Like
on the
production
mole, everything was came down to like there was 2 seconds left on the clock on every single competition.
Exactly.
But anyway, okay, so they get there and they get a note and says, guess what? You didn't get eliminated.
It was so funny, like watching like them read it, being like, someone was medically evacuated. You made it.
Yeah.
Like, they're excited. Like,
very excited.
Reading
little do they know.
Got,
little do they know that Esther was planning out what heaven was going to be like.
She was
really.
Tears?
Yeah. I mean, heaven is the ultimate survival camp. I mean, everybody else is still out there on the course. And then you're just like, you know, kicking back with your feet up, waiting for everybody else to get there. Right.
So is there an advantage to getting to heaven
earlier
than your friends?
I guess you could like pick out like the best spots, and it does bring up a good question of is heaven tiered or is it just like,
this
you
is
know,
the big question.
You know, basically like general admission heaven. I called it socialist heaven at the on Robin and
communist heaven.
Yeah, communist heaven on Robin and Community podcast. But that's a little bit more like that's charged language. I'll call it general admission heaven.
General admission.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like
there
I don't
should
necessarily
be a VIP
think
area.
You want to get there super early. But yeah, I guess I could see the VIP area. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All the blueberries you could ask for.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was really
in heaven,
funny
they
because
they don't run out of blueberries, Jenny.
Actually,
they just
the trees
keep
just
them out.
Refill them. Yeah. And they're fed to you or something. I thought it was funny because like Favia and Genevieve were the one team that actually, I guess, had passed Brett and Esther when Esther was down.
Yeah.
So they actually knew what happened to
That's how far back
her.
They were that they actually had to that Brester had gone down and were
they
ahead
were,
of them.
The team that was that was getting airlifted out was beating them for a while while on the ground unconscious.
Yeah, the show made it seem like that they were about to catch up to Justice and to Hakeem, but no, it never
it must
happened.
Not have been the case.
Justice Hakeem heard the
editing.
Footsteps and they picked up the pace.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny because it was like they had like clips last week where they were like, oh my gosh, like someone's getting airlifted. Like people were noticing the helicopter and stuff. And like, so don't you think that people would have put together that maybe a team got eliminated?
Mm.
I don't I don't know. Like, don't you think like, oh, maybe even more for the last team, we're not actually eliminated.
Yeah, but I don't think you necessarily know. I think you got people got told like, okay, whoever comes in last is going to be eliminated. And maybe they were like, oh, maybe there's a thing, but maybe they don't show that on the show. Maybe the producers are like feeding them like, no, somebody's getting eliminated.
Yeah, you better keep going.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You better go.
That's fair. You don't want people to just like mail it in on the first leg of the race because they found out that someone got medically evacuated. But for us in the know that knew there were seven medallions and seven teams left, it took away a little bit of the like intrigue for me because I didn't care whether Genevieve and Fabia got ahead of Hakeem and Justice. It didn't matter to me because I knew they were all going to still make it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the show doesn't really give you that information. You know, they make it seem like there are stakes. Ultimately, everybody gets to the base camp, to the survival camp.
But like, why would they put seven medallions in the crate? If like we weren't supposed to know that seven teams were going to make it. It's like, I can count.
I think they had to show us the crate in the beginning. We didn't know that Brester was going to not make it to the crate.
But we saw the crate after Brester went out. So I'm just like, that's where I'm kind of like, we were supposed to know that that was probably, I don't know.
Jenny, you're thinking too much about this.
This is the story of my life. I'm just trying to make sense of this, Ralph.
It's fine. Let's talk about life at the survival camp. Okay, so you mentioned about how Max and Christian had set up, and they set up their cooking station about 200 yards away, and there was some good clamming going on.
Yeah. Max was just clamming. Mm-hmm. Clamming, and he hopes you like clamming too. Actually, but he kind of hopes you don't like it too much.
Don't like it too much.
He needs to save some clams.
He's
going to
like keep it private. Now, we're going to see later on in the episode where Bella and Kaysen realize like, look, okay, all right, we've got an alliance with Jeff and Hunter, but these guys don't know how to do anything. They know how to read a map.
They can navigate.
We need other friends. We need friends who actually know how to like find food. We need to go and like befriend Max and Christian, and they're going to think that we're not threatening.
And that is why they're the best, because they know their strengths and their weaknesses, and they also recognize the strengths and weaknesses of the other teams, which is like social strategy, like 101, knowing how you're going to be perceived by others and knowing things about others and like what their strengths are, and also like reading people's ego and knowing that like, oh, these people love flexing their like knowledge and like teaching you things because it makes them feel smart and they think of you as like lesser. And it's like, why not benefit from that? And I absolutely love that like these two recognize that and are actually like playing into it.
Do you think that it was partially like, hey, if you help feed us, we can also help beat Wilson and Oliver in the next leg of the race?
I mean, you know, I'm sure there's conversations like that being like, listen, you know, if these two are, you know, the clear front runners, we need to work together to keep all of us strong so that we can gain on them and try and just get them eliminated together. And then, cause we got like some confessionals from Kaysen like that, where it was kind of like, I'm going to be making friends. And then we're, you know, in that last leg of the race, it's like every team for themselves. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's literally having conversations with the other teams being like, our main objective right now is let's look out for each other. We can't let these guys run away with it. So we have to do what we can to get them to the back of the race and get them eliminated somehow. Mm-hmm. And that means we need to work together. That's got to be happening.
You would think
and
so.
And I bet Max and Christian love that. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, help. Because we can beat you because like, I'm not worried about you.
And I bet I know who likes it even more.
Jeff?
No, the producers of Race to Survive Cullen, Alaska.
Yeah, no, they're like, thrilled.
Okay, good. Thank God somebody's playing the game.
Yeah, and I like it as well. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with them, being like, yes, thank you.
Yes, okay. So Jeff and Hunter, they need to set up their house. And there's some, we found out that Jeff also is very particular about, he likes a very comfy mattress. He's very particular about how his bed is going to go. Hunter has some thoughts about what things they should be doing. Jeff is like, no. Got to work on my bed right now.
Yeah. And I think he also wanted, he was trying to make like a clear exit in their like camp space to go to the bathroom in the night or something like that. And like Hunter was like, is that our main objective right now? Is our exit route to the bathroom?
Maybe Jeff needs to get up multiple times during the night. Okay. Sometimes men of a certain age, that's a thing.
Yeah, just the prostate's different. I don't know. But Hunter should know about getting up multiple times in the night. He threw up over 100 times last night, apparently. Yeah. Okay.
And then so Jeff is working away, and then we see there's an incident where, as you pointed out, foreshadowed last week.
My brother just cut my finger off.
And then, you know, sometimes
you went for it.
Get an idea in your head. And, you know, sometimes it manifests. And he chops his knuckle with an axe or with a hatchet.
Yeah. Yeah. This was alarming. And I will say the preview, because you get the little like snippet before a commercial that, you know, shows you what's coming up. This ended up looking way worse than I think it was, because I'm pretty sure we saw a clip of the iodine being poured on it, which was like red.
Yeah.
Which I thought was I thought he was just bleeding out. Yes. I was like, oh my God, this man did chop his finger off. He's hungry. but no, it sounds like he just kind of nicked his knuckle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know what, Rob, I just realized.
Yeah.
Another foreshadowing in this episode. Did you notice that when Jeff and Hunter got to the survival camp, Jeff's greeting to, I think, Max and Christian, he just went Knuckles.
Oh.
He said Knuckles, and he like bumped Knuckles with one of the, I can't remember which one. And then
you couldn't write
his
this.
Knuckles almost got taken out of the game.
Wow.
So I don't know. There's some sort of line going on here with like Jeff's hands, his fingers, his knuckles. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
He's a hand guy.
He mentions things and then they happen. It's amazing.
Yeah. He's manifesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, you know, everybody starts clamming with the exception of Jeff and Hunter. Ironically, like it was good that Robin and Elizabeth were there because they had to administer the medical help for Jeff.
Is there a doctor in the house? Yes.
Yes, too.
Literally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But things are going like so well for Max and Christian. We see them eating. And then things are going so well that by the day that they have to leave, we hear this.
After we get packed up, I got one more piece of business to attend to.
You got to drop a deuce?
Yeah. Yeah, and nice. Then I'll have a nice light load for the way out of here.
But still a load? It'll just be lighter. It doesn't sound like he's going to go to completion then. You want to empty the tank, my guy. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a good sign. Like, that means he got enough nutrition.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm happy for Christian, honestly.
No, that is a good sign. And certainly, like, I know some folks in the Amazon that it was weeks. There was a woman on Outlast where I don't think she, like went number two the entire time that she was there. And ultimately, she had to be medically evacuated. And so that's a good rule of thumb on these. You want to evacuate or lest you be evacuated.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's very important. So maybe that Jeff had the right idea of having a entrance way to the bathroom, because you want to make sure nothing stands in your way when nature
calls. And I guess maybe that's a point in the favor of like, don't overdo the protein, because you don't want to like Joe Del Campo yourself out here.
Yeah, I want you to stay hydrated too.
Yes, exactly.
Those are good rules.
So yeah, the hydration and not, you know, and the berries probably help. You want some like actual fiber.
Sure.
But I feel like just eating clams and like mussels is probably not as hard on the digestive system as like piles of beef. Like you're probably like less likely to get
so tender. Yeah.
it's just so tender. It's not so tender once it gets into the system. I love that they showed us that though. Like that was a charming little moment to mm-hmm. me. Listen, I'm here for it. But yeah.
A couple other moments of camp life that we got to see. Jeff plays the harmonica.
Of course he does. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
He's got some quirks.
Yes.
Do you think that Dale Wentworth can play the harmonica?
I don't know. I would guess not
a harmonica guy.
It's not a very like harmonious time on Survivor.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something.
I don't see him as like a playing music to lift your spirits kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dude.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He's like more like get off my lawn. Mm-hmm. Get out of my camp.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't strike me as like a John Popper. Played with John Rocker.
John Rocker. More of a rocker, not Popper.
Yeah. And then we also saw where Max also is shaving. He seems to have brought an electric razor.
I guess it's battery operated.
Yeah.
And
I gotta ask Kiva in Chester, is that the lawnmower 3.0?
Is it multi-use? Can you use it in multiple spots?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it away from Jeff. He's going to take something off. Don't let him near the blades.
Yeah, be very careful out there.
It probably looks like a penis.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it away.
Even more so with Lawnmower 3.0.
We did see Favia doing surgery on the penis.
On the banana slug.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess like remove the bad stuff from it. Is it like when you have to take the poop out of shrimp?
I guess so. I think you just don't eat those ones.
But if you're trying to survive, you're racing to survive colon Alaska.
You're racing to survive.
You might not have a choice.
Yeah, that was pretty gross when you had to disembowel really the banana slug for sure. But and I couldn't believe that Max had like a beard trimmer out here.
No, that was wild. Like, of all the priorities out there, like you're sleeping on like wet moss.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, gotta trim the beard. But I guess like this guy, he's on TV and this is not the first time he's been on TV.
And honestly, Jenny, like if we really want the answer to, is it a multi-purpose tool that, I mean, the man has spent hundreds of days on Naked and Afraid, over 100 days on Naked and Afraid.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. But I also just think that, like, you know, I think he's a man of confidence and he's, you know, he's a good looking dude mm-hmm. and he's just trying to maintain his look on television. Doesn't matter that he's, you know, out
professional nature enthusiast. So he's like, you know, got to keep
the swag
game
turned on. Yep. And just doesn't stop.
Yeah. So ultimately, not a ton going on here, I feel like, in Race to Survive, Alaska, Episode 2. There is a promise of more, but kind of a slow week, I felt like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've already complained about it. It was hard for me. I liked getting to know the teams a little bit more, but I felt like there was no, like, excitement of I didn't care what place anyone was in, and that part of it was not interesting to me mm-hmm. because I knew that all of them were going to make it through
yeah.
to the next stage. So what did you think about the we got quite a few updates on how much weight people had lost?
Yes, but they did.
Do you feel like that was a
combined
lot
combined weight? I don't know. I feel like that a lot of it is water weight also mm-hmm. like you know, I feel like that a better indicator would be if we got like body fat, body mass.
Right.
I don't, and again, we don't need to know that about people, but
no. But if you're going to
you
tell
know,
us this,
I do feel that, you know, just because somebody was like 180 pounds when they step on the scale at the starting line, you know, I guess technically they did lose like 7 pounds, but like it might have been like, you know, I'm sure they were probably like very hydrated going in.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's one of those things where it's like you probably lose like the biggest gap in the first couple of days because your body's like adjusting to your like new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the case like on Survivor, though. Do you feel like people, because we always get the, you know, well, we don't really anymore, but like we used to get the, you know, updated like at Ponderosa, like how much people had lost
yeah.
playing Survivor. It's like, because you don't get it throughout the game, do you think that it's possible that the number is quite big in the first couple of days and then you kind of just like maintain and then lose it like gradually through the rest of the game?
I don't know. I think that you do lose a lot of like water weight to start. So I think that that's probably like the biggest drop off. The thing about these people is that they are exerting a ton of calories and they're not really like bringing them in. So mm-hmm. it just really comes down to like how much of a caloric deficit each of them are ultimately in.
Yeah, I can't believe that this show has promoted the clam and berry diet. But here I am being like, well, this is the secret.
Yeah.
Not eating enough clams and berries. Yeah.
Why is anybody getting jungle hot for you?
No, I'm not. I don't think I have a crush on this show.
Okay.
But I mean,
the forgotten brothers of Wilson and Oliver.
For me, it's cute, not hot. You mm-hmm. know, like I think they're fun, but I'm not like, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not. It's not like that. Also, it's weird because they're brothers. Like, so do I have to like choose which
is
one?
Is one of them the cute brother?
I still can't remember which one is which.
Yeah, that's so fair. And don't look at the photos because they don't have the person.
I think
that they
Oliver's the one that has like more of the bang.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoa.
I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they
he
call
bangs.
It?
Yeah. He bangs. Yeah, yeah.
This guy bangs. Okay. All right. So that's the Race to Survive Alaska episode 2. Did have a lot of fun talking about it.
Yeah,
it is decision time. And so we have been thinking a little bit about how we want to try to approach this. And Jenny, that, you know, we did get some feedback from the listeners in terms of the audience vote and how we look at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to if we're going to be like a podcast of the people, like I think it's important to at least pay attention to that yes. part. So, yeah.
So we've been talking and we got a very nice email at this from Mike Christensen, who helped give us some thoughts
shout
about
out,
this. But I think that moving forward, that we will use our audience feedback as a compass and not as the ultimate voting metric. And don't call this podcast an autocracy, okay? We are using the form, robiswebsite.com/hit or quit, as we're not going to drop our compass either, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which way is the true north that the listeners want us to go? Towards the direction of that this is a hit or towards the direction that we should quit? And honestly, I feel like I'm invested with this show more so than the farmers.
I mean, there is a prize.
This is at least a game.
Yeah. And I think here's the thing. I think that all of these people on this show want to win $500,000. Mm-hmm. I don't know that everyone on Farmer Wants a Wife wanted to marry a farmer. And I don't even know if the half of the farmers even wanted these wives. Mm-hmm. So I think that these players are more invested. And that makes for fun. And I at least have, you know, my interest has been piqued enough in that we still have not seen a team eliminated through the normal race mm-hmm. function.
Yeah.
So,
and there
I just want to see that.
Still the promise of some sort of sabotage, rivalry.
Yeah, I will say my notes for the next time. So you get your little next time or whatever coming up on. And all I wrote was next time, bickering, puking, and crying.
The big three.
So that's all I need.
Yeah, BPC. Yeah.
More puking.
Yes.
It's great.
Okay, so Jenny, are you on board? Jenny, ring the bell?
I don't feel ready. I feel like there's more on this course for me. There are trees with berries left to be harvested. I've only just learned the ins and outs of clammen, and I want to see what other fine delicacies I can dig up through this show. So I'm at least in for now, but I will say, I am easily influenced, and I still want to know if people are finding cool stuff because I'm not, I don't have my ear to the streets.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what is on TV half the time of things that are already on television. If there's new stuff coming out or if there's things starting up that you know about that you think are Rob and Jenny classic, material.
Rob's
I would like to know.
Hit or quit.
Thank you. Please let us know in the form.
Yep. All week long.
Yeah.
Okay. Jenny, ask me.
Rob, it's been a long day. It's been a hot, damp day. You've had your fingers in the mud, digging up clams.
Yep.
And I see the look on your face, but I have to hear it from you, Rob. Are you going to ring the bell tonight?
Jenny, I've been out here going through, trying to find the USANetwork.com to get to the latest episode of Race to Survive, Alaska. But I've also looked at what else is on TV, and I just about puked 100 different times. And so I have to say that for these racers through Alaska, they've got me sucked in. Okay,
that one was the worst because it just sucked me.
Yeah, so I'm not quitting.
All right.
Now, I did ring the bell, but I'm not ringing the bell.
I'm
not
ringing the bell. Yeah, that's a
different bell. Yes.
It's like an affirmative bell.
Affirmative.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of confusing.
We're effing staying.
Yeah. I really feel what else is in the TV land right now? And I don't mean the channel TV land, but are the trees that once had blueberries and they've all been harvested. Like when Fabia and Genevieve and Hakeem and Justice got to the survival camp and everything had been foraged, and they're just like, oh, I guess I'll just eat this penis beetle. So would you say that that's where we're at?
That one was the worst because it just sucked me.
Okay.
It's sucker be sucked.
Look, when you're starving, you eat what you find, okay?
Yeah.
And that sounds like, to me, Race to Survive, Alaska, episode 3. All right, so we'll be back next week to talk about Race to Survive, Alaska. Maybe some surprises along the way. We'll see. All right, Jenny, what's coming up for you?
honestly, I am just I'm just hanging out. Hockey playoffs are starting, so I'm about to be the most stressed person because my Leafs are about to enter the playoffs again, and it's a stressful time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not watching a lot of TV, more so a lot of sports right now. But that's pretty much it. Just and getting excited for upcoming Toronto shenanigans.
Yep. 1 month from now, we'll be taking the show on the road, not to Alaska, but to Canada for some RJP live shows for Survivor and for Big Brother. Ticket information will be announced to all very shortly. Of course, we have everything going on with Survivor over this past week as Survivor reached its merge episode, and everything going on with Big Brother Canada as well, all at robiswebsite.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, you could subscribe to the Hit or Quit podcast feed for all of our coverage of Race to Survive : Alaska for as long as we cover it at robiswebsite.com/hit-or-quit-feed. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care of a good one. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.